and dogs typically go outside a lot, so mm-hmm. they can end up with problems there. Which I talked to the White House Veterinary Hospital. Dr. Karen Oberhensley runs the place, and she is very knowledgeable on all kinds of diseases, that Lyme disease, for example, or mm-hmm. anaplasmosis. I don't even know what that is, but they're carried. A lot of these are carried by ticks,
mm-hmm.
and they can be prevented. The Lyme disease, there is a vaccination, but other diseases that ticks carry cannot be prevented by vaccination, she says. And the symptoms can be lameness or swollen and painful joints, or lack of energy or appetite, all mm-hmm. kinds of things, fatigue. All kinds of things can show up, particularly in dogs.
Yep.
Which, as well as cats, but not as much in cats. But dogs can also develop heartworms, which everybody seems to know about, and they're carried by a mosquito.
Oh, which, I didn't know that. I didn't.
These, if they're detected early and treated, the dog can recover.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not, then I believe it's fatal.
Yeah. You got to be careful about that. Now, I was surprised. Lyme disease is something that cats and dogs are susceptible to. I didn't know that.
Both. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cats are not as affected by these diseases as dogs are.
Yeah.
Cats. She said cats are fastidious groomers.
Mm-hmm.
Her words, and that is absolutely correct. I have three house cats.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunted In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunted In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
And I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and we have our first live broadcast here at Hot and Hunted, and we have a lot of excitement going on in the studio, and we're doing a live demonstration. So we start off always with our quote of the day, and our quote today is from Steve Sutherland, and he says this: I believe in process. I believe in four seasons. I believe that winter's tough, but spring's coming. We're not sure about that part, but today gave us a little bit of hope. I believe that there's a growing season, and I think that you realize that in life, you grow, you get better. So that's our quote of the day. We always try to put it into our theme, and hopefully everyone's been following our little clues around our guest today, which I'll be introducing in just one moment. But first, everyone wants to know the weather. Well, it is beautiful, so keep that in mind. You don't need a shirt, short sleeves, you're good to go. Tonight, we do have another cold night, not quite as cold as last night, with a low around 39. Tuesday, we do have a chance of rain. It'll come tomorrow afternoon. We have a high of around 60 tomorrow. And then we have some steady rain after 7 p.m. More rain on Wednesday, but hang in there. We're staying in the 60s, 62 on Wednesday. Thursday is a much better day. We're getting up again in the lower 60s, but it's better than the 50s. We're still looking at some showers on Thursday. Friday, the same thing, some showers after 11 a.m., but Friday afternoon looks like a beach day. We got a high near 64. And then we won't talk about the weekend because there's more cloudiness going on there. But so far, so good. We're in the 60s. Sunny. The nights aren't quite as cold as last night. Hopefully that'll be the end of that. Do a commercial break, and then we'll be back to introduce our guests. Stay with us.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And that was the voice of the executive director of the Hunterdon County Chamber, who has the perfect radio voice. I always want him to do my commercial because he certainly has the right voice and can put enough excitement into his voice. So I'm going to set that up for you all and see when you introduce yourselves, if you can tell us your name and where you're from, and we'll segue right into what we're talking about today. So we'll start right here with Jen.
Hi, I'm Jen Lynch, and I'm from Annandale. I'm excited to be here today to talk about the Clinton Township Organic Community Garden, and I'm here with Nancy today.
Hi, I'm Nancy Sloda, and I'm the chairperson of the Clinton Township Organic Community Garden.
Thank you so much for joining me here today. You all inspired me so much last year when you talked about the organic community garden and the children's garden and all the different things you were doing to engage the community around growing. And Jen impressed me so much with her, oh, I grow watermelon, never tried it before, and just did it. So today we're going to, actually, we have some organic watermelon seeds, and we have some different things going on here. So we're going to actually do a demonstration of how you can grow watermelon. Is that right? I lost my mind totally and completely here?
No, I think this is fantastic. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, great. So why don't we start with a little bit about the organic garden, where it's located and your board and how that all works. That would be outstanding.
Sure. So the Clinton Township Organic Community Garden is actually located right behind Bunt Park, which is off of Red Schoolhouse Road in Clinton Township. And we're a community garden. And what that means is that we have a fenced-in area with divided plots, and members of the community can pay like a rental fee every season to come in and use that plot of land to grow organic vegetables, flowers, even some fruits that we can grow in this climate. And we have several different options available to keep people interested and to keep it affordable depending on what they can, what they're interested in doing. We have everything from like a quarter plot, which is still quite a substantial size. It's 7 feet by about 15 feet, and that's $25 for the season. And then it kind of goes up a half plot is 7 feet by 30 feet, and that's $40. And then a full plot is 7 feet by 60 feet, and that's $75. It's quite a large plot of land.
Sounds very, very generous to have that much space to grow, and a little scary and intimidating if it's your first time gardening. And I think it's just wonderful that you already are full and you're able to do a waiting list. But when you look at that 7 by 15, how much can you actually produce in a plot like that? Is that, four tomato plants, or is it, if you were just doing tomato plants, is it 40 tomato plants?
Oh, well, that's a good question. So tomato plants, I think, need kind of a lot of room to grow, and I would kind of space them about 3 feet apart. So in a quarter plot, I would do maybe two rows, and maybe you could do like six, so you could probably get a dozen tomato plants into that quarter plot, which is going to give you quite a lot of tomatoes.
Unless you're not a very good grower like me and you just get all these leaves and no tomatoes. Average plant, about how many tomatoes should that produce in a season?
I think each plant varies. Cherry tomatoes are going to be extremely prolific. You'll have more than you know what to do with. And then some varieties are known for being maybe a little stingier with the fruit, but great, big flavor. So sometimes it's a little bit of a trade-off, and there's really no exact number. But, you could say somewhere between 10 to 30 pounds per plant.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Now, Jen last time told us a little bit about some of the canning things that can be done also to preserve the fresh fruit and vegetables that go on all year long. So generally, you pretty much have some fresh produce if you plan accordingly and preserve accordingly that can really get your family through most of the year?
Yes. I personally don't preserve, but Nancy is expert on preserving, so she can definitely let you know the best ways to preserve your fruit to keep them all year round. But I know people do it all the time.
Yeah, I have certain things that I'll freeze, and certain things that I will, like tomatoes are great for cooking down, making a sauce, or even just, crushed tomatoes in a jar. And we are eating, garden-grown vegetables still now. from our garden.
That's amazing. That's truly amazing. And if you're a family that has a difficult time being able to purchase food that is so, so expensive, this is for $25. And I know the cost of seeds for the watermelon, I know I just paid maybe $2 for that. And we'll see how many watermelon, if any, we actually get. But when you get the seeds and you start early, certainly compared to buying a tomato, you know, which could be $3.50, depending on the season and the type that you get. I wanted to also let our listeners know about organic gardening. What does that mean when you say you have an organic gardening? Now, for our demonstration, I was very careful to read and to look at the labels. And, you know, for example, this has organic on it. And the same with the soil that I selected for today. It very clearly was marked. Are there different rules for the organic garden?
Well, I think in general, organic is, to me, kind of like a mindset. And yes, it can mean a variety of different things, all the way from, you know, having a mindset about it to being certified organic. So there it's kind of a whole range of things that kind of fit into organic. But what it kind of means to me is that, you know, everything that we do when we're in the garden or even in our lives, that we're thinking about how it impacts our health and our environment, and we're doing as much as we possibly can to make a very small impact on the environment. And what that kind of means when you're at the garden is that, you know, you're taking preventative measures. You're trying to prevent bugs before they even get there so that you don't have to think about what are you going to do about the bugs. And if you do get bugs, which you will, that, you know, you don't come out right away with a spray bottle and a chemical and spritz it down, that maybe you'll pick them off and squish them, or, you know, or just concede to giving up some of your produce to the bugs. And I think it's a pretty fair trade-off to using chemicals.
Absolutely. Great. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we're doing our demonstration here. And I also know that you have a new project this year, the Bee Project. You want to talk about that? That kind of goes with the environment and how we have to take care of almost endangered species and what we can do about it.
Yes, we are so very excited to be having a bee yard installed and 3 honeybee hives. We have a local beekeeper who is not a member of the garden, but he's coming and he's going to partner with us to take care of the bees and hopefully educate people about bees, and not just the gardeners, but, you know, any local organizations who may want to come in and learn about bees. And it's a great partnership between the garden and honeybee hives, because we kind of help each other out. We're giving them an environment that's healthy for them, so those chemicals aren't, you know, existing in our garden, so it's safe for them to, you know, forage in our garden. And they give back to us by pollinating our plants, which increases our yields.
Those are very, very important strategies. And I'm not sure if everyone knows how difficult it has been for the bee population and how important they are. I think people started to realize it when there was some awareness regarding them leaving the environment and how many things we rely on them for. I mean, they're really necessary.
Extremely necessary, yes.
Okay, great. Well, we do have to always pay the bills here, so we're still live. We'll still be live on the Facebook feed. We're all experiencing this for the first time together. So we'll do our commercials, and we will set up for our demonstration, and then we'll get back to talking about the organic garden and what that means and how exciting the different programs they have going on. So stay with us.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back here in the studio live, also on our Facebook feed. So we're doing a lot of firsts here in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and I have Nancy and Jen from the Clinton Township Organic Community Garden with us. We've been chatting about different things, but now we're actually going to do some work here in the studio. And Jen, are you comfortable narrating why Nancy and I do
sure,
the live demonstration?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Nancy and I will take our, we won't have live mics, so you can kind of tell us what's going on.
Okay.
So Nancy, you're free now to take your headphone off. I have you muted over there. And we'll come over here and Jen will narrate for us. And we'll start with my mistake, maybe. And I'm going to just ditch my dry cleaning shirt here. So it's your show, so
okay,
no dead air, okay?
Nice. So first thing that we do when we start to garden is we put our gloves on so that we protect our hands, keep them clean, don't want to break a nail. So Nancy brought a couple extra pairs of gloves for everyone.
Okay.
So
Georgine
they're putting. Georgine was prepared, so she has her own gloves, but they're putting them on, and then we're going to take a look at, Georgine had started her own planting, and she had done, she planted some string beans that don't look so much like string beans. We actually weren't sure what they were when we came in, but I think they might have needed a little bit more water, they needed a little bit more sunshine to grow properly. Plus, I think they're at a point where they needed a little bit more space to grow because they're a little bit large at this point. So sometimes when you start your seeds, once they start growing, you want to transplant them to a bigger growing area. So that was maybe a couple of the things that we could have done differently to have a more successful green bean product. But green beans are very easy to grow. I'm a pretty amateur gardener, and I've been able to grow green beans. So there is hope, and we'll get you on the right track, Georgine. And so the next time we do it, you'll have lots of green beans to grow. So the next thing that they're going to do is they're going to grab their new pots, and they're going to get some organic soil to put in there. They're going to make sure all the stickers are off the pot so that there's no extras in there, just organic matter. So what they're doing now is Georgine is she's using her tool, and she's shoveling in some soil. Nancy's going to hold the pot for Georgine.
What do you want to plant in here? Do you want watermelons? Okay.
And then we're deciding what we're going to grow. So the first thing that we're going to plant in these pots is watermelon.
Now watermelon is probably going to need a little more space.
Yes.
Right?
So watermelon, we're going to start it in this pot that we have here. It's a fairly decent sized pot, so it's going to live in there for a little while, but eventually once the plant gets bigger, it's going to need to be transplanted into a bigger area to give it space to grow. So they're still filling up the pot. Once it's all filled up, then we're going to get some seeds out, and then we're going to put some seeds into the pot. I know I've tried watermelon several times in my garden. I haven't had a lot of luck with it, but I do get a fairly decent sized watermelon, and then before I get a chance to pick it and eat it, I haven't given it enough love. So I haven't actually had any luck with eating them. But we feel that with our guidance, Georgine's going to have lots of watermelon growing this summer to enjoy.
All right, so show them up here.
So now the pot is full with their organic soil. We're going to take a look. Sure. We're going to look at the instructions on the packet and see what they have to say. This particular type of seed is a bush sugar baby plant. And on the back of it, it tells you, you know, what type of sunlight it should have. It tells you this particular seed requires full sun, which means 6+ hours of sun a day. It also gives you an idea about how far apart you should space the seeds. It tells you how many days to harvest. It tells you whether or not you can grow it in a pot. So this is a lot of helpful information on the back of your seed packets. It also tells you what time of year you should be planting the seeds. So across America, it gives you a nice little key. So in our particular area, it's a good to start growing your watermelon seeds around May and June. So we're right in that area of time where we should be planting these. So as far as days to harvest, if we plant them now, they should be about ready to go in about 80 days. And it also tells you how to sow it. You sow in a thoroughly warm soil in full sun in spring after all danger of frost. And you can sow 4 to 6 seeds apart, about 3 inches apart, in hills of 5 to 7 inches apart. And you want to cover with 1 inch of fine soil, firm, lightly, and keep evenly moist. And the seedlings, it'll tell you when you'll expect to see the seedlings grow, and they will emerge in about 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
So I think everyone's all ready to go. Here you go. I'm going to pass the seeds over, and Georgine, you can do the honors of planting.
Oh, boy. The watermelon seeds are pretty big.
Yes. Yeah, watermelons are a decent size, so they're easy to see. But some of the other seeds that we have, they're harder to see, and there's a lot of them. So I know lettuce, I think their seeds are a little bit smaller. Peas are a good size. Corn, we do a lot with corn in the garden. And I think last time we were here, we talked a lot about the corn stalks that we grow in our garden. And they're big seeds. So Georgine's got her seeds. She's going to put them into the pot now. She's spaced. She's going to put 2 in each hole. And how many holes do we have?
We just did 3 because it's going to be a big seedling.
Right. So we got 3 holes. So hopefully we'll have at least three or four plants coming out of the area, and they're planting them about 1 inch deep. Nancy's putting her finger in to make a little hole, and then once they have the seeds in there, Georgine's patting it down and covering up those seeds. So that's about it. The last step in the process is to water.
Right.
And we got lots of water to cover it up.
Nancy
has a jug with that sprouts, that has a spout, so it's nice, covering it nice and evenly. And then we should be all set.
Do we have to transplant the tomatoes?
Sure. So we also, what Nancy brought with her, because the last time we were here, we talked about tomatoes and about how many different types of tomato plants that we can have. I know our gardens, our gardeners, they like their tomatoes, and we have a lot of different ones. So the one thing we talked about last time was coming back in after the tomato plants grow and have a tomato testing. So this time we came and we brought Georgine her own tomato plant that she can grow in a container.
Yes,
yeah, so
you're going to pinch these.
So this is already, this tomato plant is already sprouted and it's a decent size now. So they're taking it out of the container. They're taking a couple leaves from the bottom off because you have to put the, you have to put the seedling into the deep inside and cover it up. So,
can we talk about how a tomato plant's unique? Everybody else is going to be planted at soil level.
Okay.
And then tomato plants you can plant deep.
Okay. So Nancy was just saying how tomato plants are unique because they have to be you have to dig into the soil and you have to plant the plant deep versus other seedlings where you can just plant them at the surface level. So they're digging the hole and they're putting it in there now. They're covering up and padding the plants. And then they're gonna, the other thing is, since this is a plant, it comes with a little tag and it usually gives you some information about how to care for the plant. So you can take care of it. So now that we got the tomato plant planted, Nancy's giving it some more water, and then we should be all set to go. They did a great job, and I think Georgine's going to have a successful harvest this year, and lots of tomatoes, and hopefully lots of watermelons as well.
Well, we're definitely going to give updates because you really did inspire me last year, and love the sense of community that you all are creating. I know we're going to be able to talk about the children's garden, but I have to pay the bills as well. So let's do a quick break. We'll have to do the news, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk about the children's garden and some of the other things. But thank you so much. It seems so overwhelming when you get the seeds. You don't know what kind of container. You don't know how much dirt. Look what I did on my own with the string beans. I wasn't trying to be a bad example, but right. It happened. So thank you so much for doing that demonstration for us. We'll get the news on, and then we'll be back here in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle at Hot and Hunterdon, joined by the Organic Community Garden of Clinton Township.
USA Radio News.
Travis Reinking, the suspect in the attack that killed four people at a Waffle House restaurant in Tennessee, was arrested today, not far from his apartment. Nashville Mayor David Briley has more on how Reinking was caught.
A tip from the community is what led to the arrest today, and their being vigilant was really an important part of what happened today.
Nashville Police Department Lieutenant Carlos Lara explains what happened when the police came in contact with the suspect.
As they're walking through the woods, one of our detectives, Kyle Williams, noticed a suspect in the front in front of him. As he was walking forward, the suspect turned around, and Detective Williams saw his face and realized that is the suspect we were looking for.
And in a developing story, Canadian police say a van in Toronto has struck at least 8 people in a crowd. This is USA Radio News.
Make your home an ADT home and help protect against break-ins, fire, and carbon monoxide. Get our lowest rate for fast response monitoring, starting at just $28.99 a month. That's about a dollar a day from the most trusted name in home security. Get ADT's tested, trusted, and proven security and service, now at a great value. Don't wait. Call today. ADT. Always there. Now everywhere. Requires 36-month monitoring contract. Early termination, taxes, and install fees apply. Certain markets excluded. See terms and pricing at ADT.com.
Ryan! I don't know how else to say this, so I'll just say it!
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people!
Are you breaking up with me? On a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun! Maybe we should stay together!
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I just need a little me time!
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Small Business Administrator Linda McMahon said today that the tax cuts are providing optimism throughout the country. She joined Fox News with a few examples.
I'm traveling all over the country. I'm visiting small businesses. I'm sitting having business roundtables. Prior to tax cuts getting passed, the optimism was, we're going to get them, we're going to get them.
Right.
Now they're there. Now they're investing in their companies. They're giving bonuses. They're increasing wages. They're investing in equipment with the write-off now under the tax cuts.
Over the weekend, Mitt Romney was forced into a Republican primary for the U.S. Senate seat that Orrin Hatch is giving up as he is retiring. The man challenging Romney for that Senate seat is State Representative Mike Kennedy, who got 51% of the vote to Romney's 49%. Kennedy shares his thoughts on President Trump.
President Trump's done a great job, not only for the nation, but also for the state of Utah. The Trump tax cuts I fully endorse and I'm very supportive of.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Hillary Clinton took a swipe at the press yesterday for the way it covered her candidacy for president during the 2016 presidential election. Hillary was speaking at the Pen America World Voices Festival. Take a listen.
Mainstream political coverage was influenced by the right-wing media ecosystem. Relentlessly negative news has had a leveling effect that opens the doors to charlatans.
With the reboot of the TV show Fuller House, Candace Cameron Bure is back in the spotlight, you could say. She also has a new book coming out tomorrow titled Kind is a New Classy. She joined Fox and Friends today to talk about where kindness has gone wrong these days.
I feel like when we turn on the news and flip on our computers and the TV screen, we see all the tragedy and the heartbreak that's going on in the world. It's so divisive politically, and that's really why I wrote the book, because I wanted to put that spotlight back on kindness and say we can start with the small things, and let's change the culture by changing ourselves one person at a time.
She also reflects back to her time on The View.
Well, you know, I really did enjoy being on the show, but it was tough at times. It's tough to be the only voice at a table that has one specific viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And so I always wanted to be respectful and kind at the end of the day.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
And this is your host, Georgine Trinkle. We're back here to talk about the organic garden in Clinton Township, and we wanted to jump right into the children's garden after we had our amazing live demonstration on string beans and watermelon. So what can you tell us about the children's garden?
Well, we've had a children's garden for the past couple seasons, and we do we start each season with a planting event where we invite kids from the families within the garden, as well as children in the community to come to the garden, to visit, take a tour of the garden, and then we plant. So last year was a really fun planting event where We didn't actually get much planted because the kids were so excited about the different things that they found in the garden that they were, we didn't get much planting done, which was great because that's kind of all the whole idea behind the community garden and the children's garden is to make being outdoors and being fun for the kids. So one of the big discoveries they found in the garden was we had planted the season before potatoes, and we thought we had harvested all the tomatoes the year before, but the children had found a bunch of tomatoes in the garden. So they were digging, and they found a lot of different treasures in the garden. So we didn't get as much planting done as we had done the year before, but they all had a lot of fun, and they learned a lot from the experience.
And for you, that's what it's mostly about, sharing that joy, that sense of what you can do together and accomplish together, and just having fun outside, I know is important to you.
Absolutely. So we always have a good time outside. This coming year, our first planning event is coming up in May 20th. We'll do the same type of thing where we'll tour the garden, and we will attempt to plant this year, but that's okay. If we don't get it all done, we do it in stages anyway, so they can come back, and then each kid will take home plant their own little plant, whether it be tomato seeds or green bean seeds. Those are some of the ones that we do, so they can take it home and they can plant it in their backyard. They can put it in a bigger pot and watch it grow a little bit as well. And then some families that are part of the garden, they can take it to their plot once it gets a little bit bigger and plant it there.
That's so exciting. And I know that you wanted to make sure that you gave a shout out to some of the sponsors that make this all work at the rate and the cost of the plots at $25 for your smallest plot. You're obviously not only doing a lot of work between all of you and the board, but you're also getting subsidized somehow. So maybe you want to talk about that.
Absolutely. So the Children's Garden in particular, Optimized Transitions and Independent Investment Council. They help support a lot of the children's programs that we do. Lowe's has been a big supporter of us in the past couple of years, and they help us get our community tools for a very affordable rate. So in the past, the members would have to bring their own tools, and we'd have a couple to share, but now we have gotten a lot more this past year. So you don't need to bring your own tools. They're right there for you, which makes it a lot more convenient. And we have been doing with the Children's Garden. Our goal is really community outreach and to do things within the community, have organizations come to us, and also go out to different schools and be a part of their some activities at their school. So actually today we went to Patrick McGarren and Clinton Township. They have a really nice courtyard and a greenhouse there, and they haven't really used it in the past couple of years. So there's a lot of families from the garden that have children at the school. So we had some volunteers come out the past couple of weeks, clean up the garden. And today, the past couple of days, we've done some planting. So today we had two third grade classes come and plant lettuce, the seedlings that Nancy grew. And then at the goal of it is to, for the kids at the end of the program to actually make their own salads from it. So, you know, children who are involved with growing tend to eat healthier. So that's a big reason, big reason why we do it. So Clinton, the ShopRite in Clinton was very helpful with us, and they found out, we reached out to them about the program, and they wanted to help, and they provided us with a gift card so that we can buy a lot of the supplies that we use during this program.
That's great. The Kalilo ShopRites are always helping the community, and I think you're right. When the kids get interested in what they're eating and they watch it grow, it's fascinating for me. Even watching things die is fascinating as well.
Sure.
But it really helps. And I know that we've talked about hunger, certainly about the need to help to provide some additional food for some of our families in Hunterdon County.
Sure.
And you're
Organic Garden has been instrumental in really helping with some of the hunger relief efforts. And I'd love to give you a sincere thank you on behalf of all the families who can't afford food for that. And maybe you'd like to just share some of the work you do to help families that do need to supplement their budget and can get some other food.
Absolutely. So a couple of the things that we've done in the past. Past 2 years, we've organized like a field trip to go out to America's Grow Row, and they're very they grow food to help people, families that need produce. So the children go out, and one day during the summer, and we harvest. We're part of that. But within the garden itself, we started to do it 2 years ago. We tried a little bit more this past year, and hopefully this year we can, each year we build upon it. But towards the end of the summer, when we start harvesting the vegetables, we organize collections from not just the children's garden, but also because by the end of the summer, everyone's gardens are growing. And they have a lot more than they can use. So we try to, we ask families, if you'd like to donate, we leave a basket on the table, and whoever is interested in donating helps fill the baskets. So last year we had a couple collections that we donated to the Clinton local pantry, and this year we hope to do more.
Excellent. It really encourages us when you have so many different partnerships, something as a garden, and then you're constantly growing your partnerships. Nancy, I know you wanted to talk about the fence and maybe some ideas for expansion in the future.
Yeah, we're really excited because, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are already full. Our membership is full. We're starting a wait list. It's not even truly the growing season yet. So that's really inspiring. We know that people want to get out there, get involved, want to grow their own food for, various different reasons. Last year we started raising money to purchase a new fence, and we're hopeful that that will happen for the next season. And when we do put in a new fence, we'd like to make it a larger footprint. We'd like to expand by at least 50%. And, that'll give space for many more plots. It also gives space to do some of these community outreach programs and to give our members some interesting different amenities. So we'll have a dedicated children's garden that has more things in it, raised beds, a shade structure, tables, just a nice little area for the kids, and even a little spot for maybe chickens, just to inspire people really to, get connected. And as we're doing these things, we are connecting to different groups in the community and other community groups that are also, other groups that are community-minded as well, such as the Boy Scouts. And we have an Eagle Scout who is going to come in and install irrigation pipes into the garden for us this year. That's going to be his Eagle Scout project. And right now what we're doing is we are watering with watering cans. It's manageable. We've done it for 6 years. We're kind of committed to doing it that way. But spigots and, faucets near our garden is going to just make it that much more convenient and easier for everybody to do what we love to do.
That's amazing. And you just had the Boy Scouts at an event recently. Were they helping out?
They've come out in the past, and they've helped us do like seasonal cleanups or help us mulch. They installed our whole main path, and they mulched our main path for us. It was a huge effort.
Very nice. It's great to see the collaborations and the things growing so much. We can't overuse that pun here, right? We could always be on growing. I know I do have to do another commercial break. But when we do come back, I do want to talk just about some ideas of some things people can purchase seeds now for and not kill them, and maybe some ideas of what would be good to grow in this area of New Jersey. I know it can be a little overwhelming, so it would be great to have a little input. But we're still live on our Facebook feed, but we will be back in the studio in just a second.
I used to feel uninspired. And when I knew I'd have to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we're back here live at Houghton Hunterdon. And when we say live today, we really mean it. We had a lot of firsts here, our first live demonstration and our first live Facebook feed. So thank you so much for just jumping right in and saying that sounds fun. It was great to share that with you. So let's dig in. I'm sorry with the garden puns. I cannot help myself. Let's dig in and talk about what kinds of things you all would suggest growing and what you've had success with and what you think
we should do. I'll kind of start with what grows well and at what time of year. So here in New Jersey, we have a nice climate for growing, but you do have to work with nature and time things well. So right now is perfect timing, mid-April, perfect timing for what we call our cool weather crops. So those are going to be things like beets, carrots, cabbage, lettuce, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage. Did I say cabbage? So those are your cool weather crops. Now you can plant them in the ground now, mostly everything from seed. If you're going to plant things like cabbage or broccoli or cauliflower, you would have wanted to start them from seed in your home just to get a jump start at least 6 weeks ago. So now you can go to your local nursery and pick up some transplants and put in your transplants. And then for some of your other crops, you want to wait for the season to warm up a little bit. Your warm weather crops like tomatoes and peppers and melons, cucumbers, squash, corn, they really like the warm soil, the warm evenings, the warm air, and they're not truly going to thrive until it warms up. And in fact, a frost would kill those plants. So if you were to put them in the ground now, you'd have to be really, really diligent in keeping an eye on the weather. And if you're going to get a frost, you could cover them with a little blanket overnight and protect them. And once the season goes through, toward the end of the season, you're going to have some space in the garden. Your cool weather crops from early in the year will have been harvested, and they're going to open up space for the fall where you can replant those cool weather crops. So everything I mentioned that can be planted now in the spring can be replanted for the fall.
That sounds like another show in the fall.
Sure.
Is there any favorites, Nancy, that were mentioned that you would suggest?
Well, I like peas. I'm not sure we talked about peas, but peas and sugar snap peas. I tried those last year, and I had some success with those. The one thing that I'm trying that I've never tried before this spring is lettuce, so that's new. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was talking to Nancy earlier today about, because I wasn't sure. I'm used to romaine, so that when I go to the grocery store, I buy romaine, and they didn't have romaine at the local garden center. So I bought bib lettuce. So I asked Nancy's always the one that I go to for my gardening advice, and I asked her, what is bib lettuce and how is that different than romaine lettuce? So she was very helpful in steering me in the right direction for it.
And we should also mention, with all the health scares and the E. coli, I know I refuse to eat any kind of lettuce right now, or eggs, unless they come from a chicken I can pet and see myself. So that's another whole thing with the healthier eating, not just being able to invest in more vegetables for your family, but also it's safe. Where you got the soil, it was organic. And for the lettuce, they probably, everyone is off of that kind of lettuce right now because people have gotten, hospitalized and so sick. Mm-hmm. So this is just another health benefit.
Certainly. So you have to keep that in mind when you go to the grocery store. And I know, we've been steering clear at our house as well. So now hopefully we will have some fresh lettuce coming out of our garden soon, as long as everything goes well. And looking forward to planting. So today was the perfect day. We got out and I got to plant some lettuce and some Brussels sprouts, a lot of the things that Nancy. And then I also went and I got some seeds for some of the things that we plant later, a little bit later down the line, like corn and tomatoes. And so that once the weather turns a little bit nicer and we get a little further into the season, I'm ready to go.
So there will be a time later on that we can go back to seeds. But for the initial group of vegetables you mentioned right now, we should go for plants there. But at some point, we could do seeds for corn.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because there's some things that you want to start with corn, with seeds to begin with, rather than transplants. So corn's one thing that works better if you just plant it right into the soil once the weather is right. So, and I know when we were doing the live demonstration, I was reading from the back of the packets, and that gives a lot of good direction about when's the right time to plant and how long do you expect before you start seeing any results. So they're very helpful. Most of the packets anyway, some of them give a little bit more information than other of the packets, but.
And we were just talking about vegetables, but you also do a lot of wildflowers to help with the bees and just to pretty up the garden as well. And those you can do seeds now, right?
Yep. Yeah. I have a couple of my packets here. I've got marigold and zinnia are some of the ones that we do. And then the kids like to see the big sunflowers in the garden. So we last year we had one this big and probably don't see that on the air, but on the Facebook page, if I say it, like it, really big, and the kids like enjoyed like picking the seeds out of it to get so that they can make sunflower seeds from it.
Which is just amazing that when we have children, we often try to teach them about delayed gratification and to take the initiative there to look at seeds for something that will be so much further down the road. It's so great to have that future mindset as children and to teach them what will happen if you gather the seeds and the growth and the patience that is necessary with that. And sometimes the frustration when you don't know what you're doing, but you try again.
The hope. Exactly. Something, I'm an experienced gardener. I have a failure every year. It's
you
inevitable.
Do not.
There's always something that fails.
I don't believe you.
Neither do I.
But when that happens, it gives you, you mourn the loss and then it gives you hope for, well, what can I put in now instead? So I think that gardening definitely is a great way of practicing patience, hope,
Each year, I feel I've been doing this probably about 4 or 5 years now, and each year I feel like I get a little bit better, and I learn a little bit. Each year, I learn a little bit more. So hopefully, I'll have a successful season this year. And you know, like I said, I'm still trying new things, though. Like, so the important thing is, you know, if something doesn't work out the first time, then try it again, try it a little differently the next time, but keep trying, because you just never know. So watermelon, even though I haven't had great success with it, I still have watermelons that packet here. So
you're going to plant watermelons.
Yep,
too.
I'm still going to try again. So, and then another thing that's difficult to grow is strawberries, and I've had haven't had much success up to now, but I saw them at the garden store today, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try it again. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
That's a lot of hope. I've tried strawberries probably 15 times, and never ever a strawberry, but
right,
you know, maybe 16th year, who knows?
Right.
Maybe it'll happen.
Well, Nancy has a lot of raspberry bushes, so I think we're gonna go if strawberries don't work, we'll go with the raspberries.
Go with the raspberries for sure, that'll probably work. I don't think any of us could go wrong from Nancy's garden,
definitely not.
I think we could all work that out. I wanted to just briefly let our listeners know also how we can change the space when we plant a garden and how beautiful it can look. And even just driving around this great area, we drive past the garden and you see the sunflowers later in the year or the dahlias. And personally, I don't mind the weeds, you know, they're whatever they are, they add color to our world and it's great. So thank you for taking care of our little bit of world here in Clinton Township, for making gardening fun, for having a children's garden, and all of the work that you do all year long to make the garden a success for the community.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thanks for being with us. We're just about out of time here. We have 1 minute to go before we are done for the day here. So again, a lot of firsts today. Hopefully we'll be able to come back and do this again in the fall and maybe see what we have going on. I'm going to keep everyone posted on our results of today's demonstration. We'll see if we have watermelon. I'll certainly be willing to donate that to the food bank and make sure that we can feed some families with that. In the meantime, we are going to be back in 2 weeks. We're going to have a special guest who's a chef talking about how to cook organically and how to infuse things into your daily food and nutrition by being a little more tuned into organic food. So we have that going on in 2 weeks, but I'll be back next Monday, and we thank you, everyone, for joining us today.
Mercy, why you gotta show up looking so good just to hurting me? Why you wanna stop this whole damn world from turning? Mercy, why you hanging on so tight if this ain't working? Why you wanna stop this flame if it's still burning? 'Cause it's still burning. So if you're gonna break my heart, just break it. And if you're gonna take your shot, then take it. Take it. If you made up your mind, then make it.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Travis Reinking, the suspect in the attack that killed four people at a Waffle House restaurant in Tennessee, was arrested today, not far from his apartment. Nashville Police Department Lieutenant Carlos Lara explains what happened when the police came in contact with the suspect.
One of our detectives, Kyle Williams, noticed a person, a suspect, in the front of him. As he was walking forward, the suspect turned around, and Detective Williams saw his face and realized that that is the suspect we were looking for.
At least five people are dead after being struck by a van in downtown Toronto. The van apparently jumped the curb and was mowing down pedestrians and anything else in its way. We're now getting our first eyewitness reports from people who witnessed the horrific accident.
The van just went right into him, plowed right into him. And then apparently he drove down further and he went onto the sidewalk by the next building and he hit more people there and just kept going.
This is USA Radio News.
Want to add three more days to your weekend? Then get on board.